I never had a camp where we start with Chinese. This is massive. I'm almost tempted to stay back now. All right. So, heavy food, and I'm sure you have had generous helping yourself, and now ready to sleep? I'm sure you are. So I picked up a topic you will never sleep. I'm continuing with the topic of teenage. So the first class we talked about teenage, relationship with parents and the society. So now we're going to pick up the topic, the hot topic. Yeah. Relationship with teen with opposite gender. Hot topic. I can see smiles. Are ya? Agya. Something that I can't tell anybody. I can't even tell my friend about it. It's so much inside of me. So this single day to talk about that. I'm sure next year I will not be called. I'm okay. That's okay. Perfectly all right. So I struggled with this when I was a teenager. There was hardly anybody to tell me what is going on in my brain. So it was suffocating, which goes through your brain and there is nobody to talk. And you go to the church and you will hear Aaron's dresses and Daniel chapter 7 and all those stuff. But the real stuff, what I'm struggling with, nobody talking. So how do I relate with this, connect? So I thought this is very critical for us to openly talk about it and understand what it is all about and get our life on in the most beautiful and God-designed manner. If you guys are going to put this online, you got to take my permission. This is little hot stuff. All right. Okay, you're with me? Let's go. So when we are small, less than 3 years, there was no difference between a boy and a girl, right? A less than 3 years ago, go to preschool and come back, and you ask that cute little girl, who is your friend? Joshua. And you all laugh. He doesn't laugh. Why is he laughing? She doesn't have a difference between a Joshua or a Rachel or whatever. So they are pretty friends. Their friendship is basically how much you know that other person. And they generally play it alone. And they play next to next. It's not that they're sharing something and playing. They play individually, basically. And they sit next to next. And the person whom she knows or he knows is the friend. And you call them best friend or whatever friend that you want, they will be happy to acknowledge as long as they know the name of that person. Yeah. So that's the age before 3. Then comes the next stage between 3 and 11. Things are a little different, right? As the picture can clearly explain, then that's a boys group, there's a girls group. And at least thrice in my home I have heard this. These girls, these boys, pagal hai. Because that's the age. You all would have said that. You can ask your parents, they would tell you. That's an age where you hate the others because you see the differences. Boys are very rough and they have very different things to play. Girls are cute and they do something different and they have dolls and they have something different. So these guys are different. These girls are different, boring. So they find the differences. And remember, there is a study that has happened in the psychological world where 4-year-old boys and girls were tested and ran through a proper test. So one of the tests was a school where these 4-year-old boys were out for playing. Girls and boys, they were out playing. And they came back to the class and there were some 10 chairs were left around. And where one of these new boys whom they have introduced to the class went and sat on that group of chairs. And the other boys came screaming, that's girl's chair, that's girl's chair. And he suddenly stand up and started putting all that. So it's pretty well known in the psychological world as well that this group is pretty, they see the differences to each other. And that's the relationship at that age between 3 and 11. All of you have crossed that. And then comes the teen entering. Interesting, yes, Kevin. So you're trying to find out some compatibility, something interesting, different. and a kind of different feeling is coming, isn't it? You see a boy who is talking or smiling, or a girl who smiled, then some electricity passes and you don't know where to sit or stand, and I mean kind of feeling that you have, and then you all night you're dreaming about that, what that person said and smiled and what he didn't say and things like that, isn't it? Many of you are showing me the faces as if you don't have this feelings. If you have not have any of these feelings, please meet me after the meeting. I'll take you to the doctor. This is normal. It's not abnormal. Okay, these are normal things. Okay, so that's first big lesson, which I didn't know. I thought I was very abnormal. And I thought I'm very sinful. Because what kind of feeling I'm having as a teenager? Come on. I'm not able to get my head straight. I keep looking like this. What's happening? So I was feeling frustrated and more. So I want to tell you, this is normal. Khushu? Okay. Nahi? All right. So this is a normal tendency that we have. What caused this change in teenage? There are a lot of changes that are happening in a teenage. There are physiological changes that are happening. I don't need to explain that to you. From your earlier age, less than 9 or 8 or 7, there are a lot of change. Boys and girls, they have on their body. And that's a normal change that happens in your body. And that creates a lot of changes in your body chemicals as well, and in your emotions and your feelings. Hence, there is a lot of psychological changes that happens in your mind. Because you get into an individuality. You get into a kind of your own kind of feeling. Independence that you start feeling. You're no more a child. If somebody calls you, hey baby Idra, you feel very insulted, isn't it? You feel insulted because you're no more a baby. You will kill that person if somebody calls you a baby anymore. So you wanted to be counted as man, right? Many of the boys, Uncle Johnny was telling you, your voice is not heard. Poor chaps, I was wondering, their voice is not broken up. It's neither low nor up. I mean, you can't be blamed. You're teenage camp, right? Because we wanted the high pitch, we are not there. We wanted the low pitch, we are not there. So we are in the in between, isn't it? So these are physiological changes. These are psychological changes that are happening. There are a lot of interactions that is happening with your society. You're forming opinions about various things. About the church, about the camp, about the food, about the dress, about people, about relationships. You are forming your own opinion. So far, it was what parents were saying or some teachers said. But now things are changing. You wanted to have your own opinion. And that's a big change that's happening. So to that extent, what influence your opinion matters. It could be if you are a ardent fan of cereals, like many girls are, that will form your opinion. If you are into Bollywood or Hollywood, that will form your opinion. It depends on what's the popular thing that you are exposed to. They will form your opinion by and large. So that's a big change that's happening to you. Up to this, it's all normal. This is how it will be. Yeah? You're with me? Hello? You're with me. All right? Is it true what I said? Yeah? Oh, good. Good. All right. Then comes this age in your classes, in your schools, that big question, who likes who? Right? She likes him. Hey, look, he likes him. And then writes the name, so-and-so, love sign, so-and-so, and pass the chit. And you show your anger against it, and in your heart you say, hey, nice, I hope he likes me. Kind of stack, who likes who is a big question in those times. And this feeling, generally, girls will have it first because you get matured at least 2 years faster than the men. Don't put your collars up. That's how the nature is. And so to that extent, you achieve the puberty much before, and the feelings might come first to you before. And that time, perhaps the boys will find it very funny and amusing. But then after sometimes you also started understanding what is this whole about. Whole lot of confusion that's coming into your eye. The moment a girl talks to you or a boy talks to you or smile at you and you feel that there is something in it, kind of entire skies get sort of lightened up there's some smoke and fire and thunder and kya kuch chal raha hai mera dimag pe. I am not able to contain myself. Adrenaline is pumping through. like nothing else in my veins, and every pint of my blood is pumped with the blood, and I don't know, kind of feeling that we have, isn't it? Kind of feeling where the electricity is passing through our veins, like 200 volts electricity, you can put a bulb and you can light it. Kind of feeling that we have, yeah? It's simply too wonderful. It's suffocating kind of a thing. Thinking of that person itself is so suffocating. I can't, I open my book and I can see only that picture. I can't read anything, chemistry, biology, nothing. Right? Yeah, I can understand. I can understand your smile. I can understand what's going through. Yeah? This is normal. This happens. This is part of the age. That will happen. The mistake is that we think that this is what is called love. That's the mistake. These feelings and these attractions and these are all normal. You will feel it. If you don't feel it, there is some problem. If you feel it, it's normal. But if you think that this is what true love is, you are absolutely mistaken. This is not true love is. This is something called, in the psychological world, it is called infatuation. That's what it is. This is a kind of feeling which is called infatuation. And one gets infatuated with different things, different points of time. There was one great painter in India whose name was M.F. Hussain. Have you heard him? A big time painter, died now. And he was in his 80s. Suddenly he had an infatuation to Madhuri Dixit. Heard of her? She was in her 18s. And he was in his 80s. Infatuation. He went to one of her films some 28 times. He and his people go just to see Madhuri Dixit. And he go and stand and dance in the theater. That was there. I didn't go there. I saw that paper cuttage about it. You must be wondering, are ye angle kidhar dekha ye? It was in the paper. It was in the newspapers. So, it's called infatuation. And that is there. So this infatuation stage is normal it can happen in the early stage of our teenage. How do we know this is an infatuation? There are some characteristics of infatuation. First of all, the absorbing focus that it takes to you. You won't be able to focus on anything else. It just takes your mind. It just blinds you out. You feel, I'm not able to think about anything else. I'm not able to productively do anything else. I just am paralyzed with this thought. That absorbing focus is a mark of infatuation. Also, an infatuation brings it to you something we call it in the economics. It is called as law of diminishing marginal utility. Don't get worried. You have studying this? Yeah. What it means to say is, if you are very hungry, you eat an orange, very tasty. Then they offer you second orange. Ah, it's nice. Third orange, it's okay. Fourth orange, baba, ho gaya. Abhi nahi chahiye. Yeah. In this infatuation also, this will be that. The first time the girl smiled, bahut ho gaya. Next time smiling will not do. She has to stop and talk. Next time talk will not do. She has to cut the class. Next time that will not do. It will increase to one level to the other. And that's a real mark of infatuation. Mark me. That's infatuation. It's feel like that I am in control. Many people would say that, yeah, just for fun. Generally we hear, no, we are just friends. Why are you saying we are just friends? Nothing is there. I have nothing against that person. We are just friends. Why do you say that? You're saying that because you think that you're in control. I can stop it any time. That's what you're thinking. But an infatuated person will find it difficult to get out. In case you're forced to get out, you will start feeling the withdrawal symptom because you're infatuated. A drug addict, if you stop drugs to him, he will start shivering his body. He will start losing confidence. He will start getting frightened. All sorts of withdrawal symptoms will happen, and exactly the same thing will happen for an infatuated person. So this is another very painful withdrawal symptom, part of this infatuation. Often these words are used, I love you. I love you. I mean, as this fellow is saying, I mean, with flowers, or, I mean, they use all sorts of days, maybe friendship days, and, you know, flower days, and all Valentine days, and all the days that have been used to say, in somehow say this, I love you. What really it means? An infatuated person is not saying that I really love you, because he doesn't understand, or she doesn't understand the word love is, which I will explain in a minute. Basically, what this person is saying is, I love me, and hence I want you to myself. That's what it means. I love me, and I want you to be mine, because I love me. It is absolutely selfish. Infatuation is basically selfish. It's all about I having fun, I having what I want in my thought, and I being satisfied in my quest. That's what infatuation is. That's not love at all. You must be reading the newspapers all across. Perhaps you must have come across this girl. She looked like this earlier. Infatuated with a boy. And when she withdrew from there, he threw acid on her. And she looks like that now. Is this what I love you? Is this what real love is? And you see, this is not one incident. Hundreds and thousands of incidents across our land as well. This is not love. My dear friends, my dear teenagers, please believe me. This is just infatuation. Since I have gone through your path, I can tell you that. I have seen cases of this. So many cases that people who studied with me, infatuated and paid with their life, that I know. Infatuation is a big danger that you and I can get into. Many people get infatuated and then get married to that person. They think that that's what makes them very happy. Me and my wife, in our free time, meet a lot of couples for family counseling. We see a lot of such people, married, infatuated, and then realize after marriage, their life is like chalk and cheese. No compatibility. Absolutely no compatibility. Finding it so difficult to adjust. Till the day of marriage, they thought they are the best compatible couple. After marriage, they realize this is terrible. It takes so much of effort, so much of struggle, so much of pain and agony to get them back to life in some shape. Many of us think that it's only an Indian culture. It's only in our assemblies we have this problem. Look at the others. Look at people in my college. Look at the Hollywood. Look at the Bollywood. Look at our believers in America and UK. They all have this. They get infatuated and get married. What's the problem? You see, this concept of getting emotionally caught up and getting married is not an age-old concept. This started very recently. Recently in a sense of 1200s. That's when it all started. Till then, till 1200, it was all families that has been arranging these marriages. There has been aberrations. Aberrations like a few of them that we have in the Bible also, and you see what happens to them as well. But this was all arranged. Thought through. Objectively found their partners. But it was William Shakespeare with his stories that fantasized this romantic life and getting married to. What are the dangers of getting infatuated and then getting married to? First of all, you would miss God's best for you. See, God knows what is the best compatible person for you. Many people make us to believe that, yeah, when I know this person and when I am in love with that person, I have this courtship with this person, and then I would know that person. I tell you, that is the most foolish thing that you can think. You will never know that person. You know why? When you meet a boy or when you meet a girl, you will show your real color. Straight away my friend is saying, nay. Nay. We will put up our best perfumes. We will do all the 2-3 paint coatings. We will get our best smiles. We talk the best words. We will practice what the words we will speak. We will show the best. And you will think that she is the angel of my dreams. And then you realize after marriage, she is the nightmare. Reality will come after. Then no more games. So, you will miss. God knows what is the best compatible person for you. If you prayerfully, objectively select your partner in the will of God, God will select the best compatible person for you. And when I say that, I'm not just saying it just from my understanding from the scripture. I'm telling it from my own experience as well. Having married for the last 20 years, perhaps I would say that is the only good thing that I did to seek God's will. So many bad things I have done in life. One great thing God has helped me to get married in God's will. And I can tell you how life is. There is no better life to have married in God's will, to find a partner who is God's choice for you. Because God knows who is the person who will be compatible to you. You don't need to struggle then afterwards. So don't miss God's will. Of course, people who get infatuated and get married also live. They can also be blessed. God can help. God can help anybody. There is no doubt about it. But do you want to miss your best? The ones that God has kept for you. There was only one Eve in the Garden of Eden. It's not that God has decided to have one dozen Eve roaming around, and then Adam was going around and Romeo, and then he found, oh, that's interesting, bald, that's very nice, a blonde one. No, there's only one Eve. And God chose for him because God knows what's the best for him. Brought her to him. And that's the best thing to do. Towards the end, you forget about Genesis. You come to Revelation. Ultimately, it is the same, the marriage of the Lamb. It's chosen by the Lord. So, and in between, in the middle, you take Lord Jesus Christ. And he picks up what's the best marriage for you. He refer to Adam and Eve. So be it in the beginning of the Bible, be it in the middle of the Bible, or be it at the end of the Bible. It's all about chosen by God in his will for the partner. So let's take that and don't miss God's best for you. Second trouble is, while you get infatuated, you will mine your heart with so much of evil thoughts. Because as I told you, the law of diminishing marginal utility makes you think more and more and more. Am I right? You will not be able to think the same thing and get the same pleasure. You will have to think something more each time. So your mind will get mined with evil thoughts, filled with evil thoughts. Do you really want to spoil your mind that way? And more you do that, that becomes your thought process. That will bring to your, that will form your character. And that gets hardwired in you. You become a man like that. You become a woman like that. Do you want to do that? Don't spoil your heart. Don't spoil your mind. Don't mine your mind with such evil thoughts all the time. You would be thinking about somebody's future husband. You would be thinking about somebody's future wife. Who told that is yours? You are deciding. Huh? Who are you to decide that? It may be somebody else's. How shameful it is to think and infatuate yourself with somebody's husband and somebody's wife. Don't mine your mind with evil. Thirdly, while we get infatuated, we miss the priority of life. Today, as a teenager, you have some priorities in life, don't you? Studying is your priority. Building your moral values is your priority. Building yourself as a perfect man in the will of God is your priority. Growing as a good and righteous man, becoming a good husband, becoming a good wife for future, and building yourself to that is your priority. While you get infatuated and go around on somebody's whims and fancies, you are missing your priority. You lose interest in your studies. You lose interest in your spiritual things. You will start flirting and you will start moving away from the priorities of life. Finally, it loses our self-control. Infatuation takes away the self-control. We won't be able to control ourselves. Slowly and steadily, that thought will take control of you. It decides what you do at what point of time. While you're sitting in a camp, it will decide whether you are listening to God's word or you're still infatuated with that. That will decide everything of you. Your time, your sleep, your relationships. your studies, everything will get controlled by that infatuated feelings. Do you want to let your control go? In one side, you don't want your parents to control you. You don't want anybody to control you. Look at what is happening. This feeling of infatuation is controlling you. Do you want to let go? This is extremely dangerous. If that is what it is, what is true love? I must tell you that. What is true love? 1 Corinthians chapter 13 gives you a true love picture. I'll just pick two verses for you from there. Verse 5 it says, can you read verse 5? Okay, let's read verse 5 together. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Did you get? Shall we read verse 4? If you are having an old translation, the first word you use it as love, okay? Instead of charity, okay? It's love. All right. So can you read? I'll say 1, 2, 3 and you can start reading, okay? 1, 2, 3. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Did I make a mistake? I talked about verse 5. You all read verse 5 only? No? Sorry. 4 you read. Okay, sorry. So 4 is talking about love. And then I wanted to get your attention on verse 5. Okay? Let's read verse 5. 1, 2, 3. That's God. Okay. So it says that love will not be selfish. That's what you're reading here? Love is not going to be selfish, right? Infatuation, what did I say? It's selfish. I want you. I love me. If I don't get you, then I will do whatever that is required. Sometimes I will not throw acid, but rather I will go and hang myself. That's also selfish only. Or I will have a big body. Selfish only. Just to protest. I'm just showing my protest. It's all because I lost you. And I am upset with it. Isn't it? But love, it says, real love is selfless. It looks for the best of the other person. It's not expecting anything in return. It feels that the other person should get the best. I'll make this a little more simple for you. Suppose you are infatuated with somebody. And you wanted to test whether that is an infatuation or that is love. You just need to make this test. You go to Lord's presence and pray to the Lord. Lord, I don't know which is right. So I want to pray for you. I really want to love that person. So I want to pray to you, Lord, that you should give that person the best husband in the world. And don't say that, Lord, you know that I am the best husband for her. That should not be. If you can pray, Lord, give that person the best wife in the world. And I know that I am not the one. You give him the best. If you will be able to pray that with all your heart, then that could be a real love. But in teenage, that's a rarity. I have not seen many. I have not seen any, is what more to say. It's infatuation. Real love that seeks for the best of the other person. Next verse, verse 6. Will you read verse 6 for me? 1, 2, 3. Okay. Which means it does not love in iniquity. It is not, the whole real love is hinged on holiness. It's not in a double life. I don't need to be one with the other person and the other at my home. I don't need to hide it from my parents. I don't need to hide it from my teachers. I don't need to hide it from anybody. I don't live a double life. I have real love which has no wrong motive. There are no iniquities in it. Absolutely transparent. Absolutely pure. Holy. Selfless. That's real love. You should read this chapter end to end and then you will realize the real love that is defined here is made out of a Greek word which you are familiar with, the word called agape, which is actually the love of God, which is basically a love which is seeking to give to the other person, not taking from the other person. It is not a feeling. Agape love is not a feeling. Please get this right. Many of us have this mistaken idea about love. I feel loving. Well, loving also has feeling in it. I'm not denying that fact. But love is not just feeling. It's an objective will to love the other person. That's what love is. In a marriage, it's not just feeling. Maybe you will have feeling for 10 years, 15 years, 20. Feelings will not sustain all your life. 60 years, 70 years, 90 years of marriage. Feelings will not sustain. Then what will sustain? Commitment of love. So love, the agape love, is a commitment, not just feeling. It has feeling in it. Beautiful feeling in it. God so loved the world that he gave his own, his only begotten son for us. And there is feeling in it, his love in it. But much beyond that feeling, it is not an action out of feeling. It is an action out of objective will to love us. So, love is not just a feeling like an infatuation is. We have all have friends. Third standard friends, fourth standard friends, seventh standard friends, ninth standard friends. And we really had feelings for them, isn't it? Real feelings. We gave them gifts when they left this country. I mean, some of your friends would have left school long back. 4 years, 5 years, 6 years down the line, how is your feeling? Huh? Don't even remember that person. Feeling is gone. You must have said those days, he's the best friend forever. BFE. Abhi kidhar hai? Naam bhi yaad nahi hai. What happened? Feeling is gone. That means love is gone. No, there was no love there. It was just a feeling. You got it? So, in the teenage life, when there is an infatuated feeling that you feel with, please understand, this is not love. This is just an infatuation that I am feeling. So I shouldn't be acting on this feeling. That's one that you should know. A brilliant person, a wise person will understand that. If you have not understood that, that's why I came here to tell you this. When you have this feeling of infatuation, which is normal, as I told you in the beginning, it is not abnormal. But at that point of time, don't get yourself controlled by that feeling, nor take any decisions or action on the basis of that feeling. That will be stupidity. Because you will harm your life forever if you take some decisions on that basis. Because marriage decides, you know, salvation decides where you are after your death, isn't it? Once you are gone from this world, if you are a saved person, it will decide whether you are in heaven or hell. Am I right? Marriage decide whether you are on heaven or hell on earth, if you have the right person or not. If you don't have the right person, you are on hell only. Life will be hellish. So please don't take your decision on the basis of infatuated feelings. They are not love. They are just infatuation. How do I handle it? How do I handle it? Handling this requires a few things which I wanted to say, and then I will close with that. First of all, build up healthy interactions with the opposite gender and a healthy distance with them. In our system and culture as we are progressing, this becomes increasingly challenged because we are told that if I maintain a decent distance, that's a very old fashion. Now if I meet, I have to put my hands on the shoulder. I have to goodbye only like this. I can't say otherwise. You know all these things that we pick up from the society? Because we think that we are very advanced and we are like Westerners now. Now we are like US and UK and Europeans. And so we got to be a little modern. You have no clue how many teenage pregnancies are getting terminated in these places. You have no clue. It's a menace in those land. Do you want to kill your bodies like this? It has a danger. It's not fashionable, my friends. It might look fashionable. It is not fashionable. So much of depression. And psychiatrists in those countries treat, I mean, one of those researchers say more than 51% in one of those countries gets treated for depression. It's not a joke. Don't think that these are really modern, stylish, fashionable stuff. It is not. Learn the wisdom. maintain good interactions. It's not that I'm saying that you don't talk to any boys or any girls. And the moment, I mean, old rabbis used to be there. There used to be rabbis who wants to keep themselves away from girls. They close their eyes when they see a girl from the long, and they walk like this, and they clack, clack, go and hit somewhere and get bruised, and they are called bruised rabbis. I'm not saying that you need to be bruised rabbis. That was fashionable those days, because I'm bruised for what I did. You don't need to be bruised rabbis. You can have healthy interactions. It's your brothers, it's your sisters. You can talk, there's nothing wrong. But maintain a distance. Maintain a healthy distance. Don't get into too much into the person's personalities and emotions. You will lose it. Infatuation is ready to lit up within you, and that will take you apart. So make a healthy relationship. Try to interact with the opposite gender whenever you need to, in groups, not in individually. Try to avoid individual interactions. Whenever there is a group of girls and group of boys talking to each other, of course, in the groups also we have the tendency that within the group there is one person is more close to the other person and all those stuff. Keep away. Maintain your distance and interact in groups as much as possible. Try and avoid recreational activities with the opposite genders as much as possible, because on a recreational front, normally we lose the guard because we are on a different platform out there. Try to be on the recreational front with girls. With girls and boys with girls, boys with boys, and that will help. Avoid any transactions like exchanging of books and phone or notes or gifts or friendship bands and stuff like that. It all looks innocent. Sometimes you will ask, what's wrong with it? Instead of asking that question, what's wrong with it, you ask yourself, what's right with it? What do I do with it? Is there a possibility that this gets misinterpreted? I remember one chap whom I know. This man had his father in Gulf. So every year the father comes and he gets this nice pencils, very nice rubber which has good perfume kind of stuff. And there was a girl next door, comes to the same church. So he used to give these pencils and rubbers to this girl, school days. He didn't have anything else in his mind. But later, when his marriage was fixed, there was a huge trouble in society. Because she has publicized that he really loves me, and now he is cheating me. This fellow said, where have I cheated you? When did I say? Then why did you give me rubbers? So it was completely different. So your innocent actions that you think it is not, I didn't mean anything of that, can get misinterpreted by the other, and you have no business of interpreting that, saying that, no, I have no role in that. So be careful with that. So maintain a healthy interaction. Maintain a healthy distance. Secondly, something which I wanted to suggest to you, pray for your future spouse. I didn't say that you pray in your family prayer. Don't give you shock to your parents. So, in the 11th standard and you started praying for your future. No. But you can pray in your secret. Actually, somebody told me when I was a teenager and really helped me. And when I pray, I should not be thinking about that, Lord, but I don't know who is that. Maybe this person? No, don't do that. Then you're gone. You will get into infatuation. Don't put any picture. Tasveer ka koi zarurat nahi hai. Parmeshwar ko dekhne ke liye tasveer nahi chahiye na. You pray to a God without seeing, right? So that's okay. You can pray to the Lord. Lord, I don't know who my husband is going to be. He must be studying somewhere. I don't know. Lord, protect him. Ensure that he don't flirt around with girls. Pray. You do the same thing. Lord, I don't know where my wife is. Someday you're going to give it to me. She would be in some school somewhere or some college somewhere. Lord, protect her. Protect her from all the idiotic boys around her. Keep her safe. Pray. You know, when I started praying that, then I started looking into myself. I can't go around with these girls. Because I'm praying for my wife that she will not go around like that. It becomes an automatic wall around myself, because I get control myself with my prayer. And that's a good thing to do, because you are getting committed and you are having that clear hope, God is going to do this for me, and God is listening to your prayer, and he will be pleased because you are desiring to do his will. How much pleased God would be to hear that prayer, that you are praying for that person whom God wants to have in your life. Thirdly, and with that I will close, pray for yourself. You pray for yourself. Can we read Matthew chapter 6 verse 30? Matthew chapter 6 verse 30. Last verse that we will, there are some more verses to read, but Matthew chapter 6 verse 13, I will read that for you. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. This is a prayer Jesus taught disciples to pray every day. And as a teenager, this is a beautiful prayer. Pray this every day. I can tell you, I pray this prayer even today. I'm a middle-aged man. You might be thinking I'm an old man. I'm not. So that's why I wanted to make sure that. I pray still this prayer every day. This is a beautiful prayer. Lord, lead me not into temptation. Deliver me from evil. Temptation can come from outside of us. It can come from our friends. It can come from our colleagues. It can come from our friends in our church. Lord, lead me not with such people. There are some people, no? Listen. There are some people whose company that will make you and prompt you to do sin. There are some people whose company that makes you to prompt sin. There was Saint Augustine. He has written once, he was a very wild man. And when he got saved, he wrote in his book, Confessions, there is one chapter in which he says that, it's a old English, I'll interpret to modern English, which he says that, in this company of people, I used to boast that kind of sins which I never did, saying that I did that. He never did that sin, but in that company of people, he has to boast, I did that, oh, wo kiya, wo kiya maine, so that he will feel accepted in that group. So there are some people who will tempt you to do sin. Such groups, just shun them. Get out of that group. Because that's not a group good for you. Any group that prompts you to do a couple of sins, move away from that group. There is something that within you that tempts you. That is, we have in James chapter 1 verse 14. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. There is something, a lust within us that prompts us to get infatuated and to go sinning. So you should know that there is an enemy inside, there is enemy outside. So I should know that, and I should pray to the Lord every day. Lord, today lead me not to temptation, be it outside of my friends or be it within me. Lead me not into temptation. Then while you pray that, prayer is not enough. I recently happened to have met a couple where the husband is a drunkard. And so the wife was saying that he pray every day morning, Lord, save me from this bad habit I have. And then he go and drink in the afternoon. So the wife was trying to tell us that he thinks that by prayer, now it is God's responsibility. I will do what I want to do. Many of the time we pray like that, Lord, lead me not into temptation, and then happily go to that same place that we can sin. No, that's not a prayer at all. That's not a sincere prayer. If you pray this prayer sincerely, then practice what you pray. What do you practice? Matthew chapter 26 verse 41. Matthew chapter 26 verse 41. I'm not going there. If anybody is taking note, you can take down the verses. Can somebody give me a glass of water? If it is possible, if it is somewhere nearby. If it is available. If it is not available, forget it. That's fine. Matthew chapter 26 verse 41. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. So, watch and pray that you will not enter into temptation. Watch. Did you see that word? Watch. It's not just prayer. Watch. Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. You got to watch what is happening. You got to be vigilant. That's the word is. It's not just prayer. You watch out. What's happening to you? Is there somebody is taking an advantage of you? If somebody is making an advance to you, watch. Watch and pray. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 22. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 22. There is another beautiful verse there. What did you read? abstain from all appearance of evil. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Why do I abstain from even appearance of evil? It's not just evil. Even the appearance of evil, even the trace of it, abstain. I need to know. I need to know what are the actions that support my desire to maintain holiness. Anything that takes me away from that, abstain from it. Titus chapter 2 verse 12. We read there. Titus chapter 2 verse 12. Denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Which means to say, choose every time godly option. Every option that you have, every time that you have to choose something, choose godly option. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8 and 9. Three more verses I wanted to quote before I close. 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9. Be sober. Or in other words, be serious. Uncle Rajan has said in the beginning, maybe he quoted this verse unknowingly. Serious. Be serious. That's the word. Same word it is. Be serious. Be vigilant. Like a guard. We have a watchman in our, we used to have a watchman in our society. By 10 o'clock you come after the office if you are late, and then you will see he is happily slept. And it's not just that he is sleeping on his, on his duty he slept. He will have his blanket put up, his cap out, and he is prepared to sleep. Ready to sleep. It's not that he just fell off to sleep. Prepared to sleep. That's not vigilant. That's not vigilant. In those days we heard that there was a tiger that has come to the society. And I was wondering, this fellow would have been the nice, good meal for the night. Happily sleeping. Be vigilant. You don't know what is lurking behind you. Be vigilant. Be serious. Don't take life lightly. Don't take the advances of others lightly. Don't take the interactions lightly. Be serious. Be vigilant. Proverbs chapter 4 verse 14. Proverbs 4:14. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of the evil men. Path. Be careful which way you go. What are the ways that you are taking? Paths. In the first session also we talked about that. God will direct your path. But if you not allow God to direct your path, you will end up in your own paths. You will end up in the paths of your friends. You will end up in the paths of the world. It will be a way of destruction. Watchful of which path that you take. Acts chapter 24 verse 16. Acts chapter 24 verse 16. And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. Maintain a good conscience. Raat ko jab sone ke liye ja raha hai na, you should have a clean conscience. You should not have any fear. You should not feel guilty. You should not feel, hey, I am hiding something. You should go with a clean conscience before God. God, what a day I had. And sleep well. Have a clean conscience. Maintain a clean conscience. One more verse, Colossians chapter 3 verse 2. Colossians chapter 3 verse 2. Where you read, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Build your defense on spiritual things. Build your spiritual fortress. Build it up. This is the time that you should build. That's why I congratulated you for choosing to come for this camp. This camp is not all about fun and frolic. It will have fun, I'm sure. You will enjoy it. That'll be good. But this camp is an opportunity that will help you to understand the tools by which you can read the word. And how do you interpret the word? What are the basic doctrines? How do I study the Bible? How do I practice it in my life? Build from here. It's not just once in a year camp. This is just the beginning. This will help you just to start. And once it is started, go back home and build your spiritual immunity. it's important that you build it. When you pray this, three things will happen. One is your attitude towards evil will determine through this prayer. You will be vigilant. You will be serious about it. So this prayer, if you pray every day, that determine what attitude that you have towards temptation. Secondly, it determines your attitude to your own ability to control your infatuation. You are telling to the Lord, Lord, I don't have the ability to control. I fall in sin. I get infatuated with such and such person. I easily get drawn into emotions. Lord, I don't have the ability. Lord, you knows me. I'm weak, Father. But Lord, I pray to you, lead me not into temptation. Deliver me from the evil one. That's the prayer. So that determines your attitude towards temptation. That also determines your attitude towards God. You're praying to God. What are you saying? Lord, I'm not able, but I know whom I believe. I know you are able. You are able to carry me through till I die. Even when these temptations are so big, I feel I can't escape. I feel I'm not able to concentrate. I feel I will fall. But Lord, you are able. You can help me, Lord. Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from the evil one. Shall we pray? As we close our eyes for a moment of prayer, will you make this your commitment to pray every day? Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from the evil one. Will you make that your prayer? Will you make that your motive? Will you take a decision that you will never make a lifelong decision out of infatuation? Rather, you will seek for the best of God. And you will wait patiently for God to give you His best for you. Oh, Father, I pray for these dear brothers and dear sisters. May their desires be purified. Give them wisdom. Open their eyes of understanding. Bless them, Father. You have a great plan for them. Bless their teenage years. We pray in Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen. May the good Lord bless you and have a wonderful camp. And when you go back at the end on Friday, go back at new people whom God really loves and the world loves. Be good citizens of heaven and on earth. May God bless you.